It has these scenes of the fact that Easter is not over. And it, you know, so those are some of the pictures, how we've walked through things like the triumphal entry, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, all those amazing pieces that are part of the Easter story. And then it says how the Easter story opens the door into the adventure of God, the adventure of joy, the adventure of peace, and then the adventure of knowing and serving Jesus. I think we need to be reminded that, yeah, we had this great celebration last week, but Easter is not over. It really is just the beginning. So as we reflect back on what I was sharing last week, we looked at the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. We saw how that after all that had taken place with Jesus being crucified and then the empty tomb, that these two headed back home and they were troubled. They were discouraged. They were perplexed. And then as they're walking, all of a sudden, Jesus joins them. And he talks with them, and then he unfolds the scriptures to them. Then they arrive in Emmaus, and they ask Jesus to stay with them, which he does. And then as he breaks bread, sharing the meal with them, their eyes are opened, and they realize it is Jesus alive. And as soon as they recognize him, he disappears. Now let me read to you what happens next after that. And this is from Luke 24, 33 to 41. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told the story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you can see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. They were in disbelief, thinking Jesus was a ghost. A story is told of a Yugoslavian judge who was electrocuted when he reached up to turn on a light while standing in a bathtub. Not a very bright thing to do, right? Well, his wife found his body sprawled on the bathroom floor. He was pronounced dead, and he was placed in a preparation room under a crypt in the town cemetery for 24 hours before before his burial. However, in the middle of the night, the judge came too. And he looked around at his surroundings, realized where he was, and rushed over to alert the guard. But instead of being any help, the guard was terrified and promptly ran off. Fortunately, though, the guard did return with a friend, and they released the newly revived judge. Well, the judge's first thought was that he should phone his wife and reassure her that he wasn't dead. Unfortunately, he got no farther than, "Honey, it's me." His wife screamed and fainted. So he decided the next course of action was to enlist the help of some friends. He went to the house of these friends, but because they had heard the news from his distraught wife, they all doubted that he was really alive. They were all convinced he was a ghost. Finally, in a last desperate effort, he contacted a friend in another city who hadn't heard about his death, and that person was able to convince family and friends that the judge really was alive. This sounds a little bit like the passage that I read this morning. Reports are coming in of people seeing Jesus, but they had seen him crucified. How could he be alive? It was difficult to believe. They were slow in grasping the truth. They needed to hear the words of many witnesses. And then they needed to see him. The response of the two on the road to Emmaus, after they realize that they have been with Jesus, I think is very significant. When these two saw that it was Jesus, they were overjoyed, and they wanted to hurry and tell everyone. They turn around, and they head right back and go to Jerusalem. They didn't just sit back and put their feet up and go, wow, this is amazing. But they didn't wait until the next morning. They get up and they walk 7 miles back, probably a little over, 11 kilometers? Well, no deal in a car or a horse, but walking, maybe around 2.5, if you're a slow walker, 3 hours? And it was evening, so it was getting dark. They could not keep this good news to themselves. And when they arrive, they tell everyone how Jesus appeared to them. The room that the disciples and the others had gathered probably was the upper room where Jesus had shared the Passover meal with them. And like the two on the road to Emmaus, they were troubled and they had gathered together for support. They were perplexed and discouraged, just like the two on the road had been. The news of seeing Jesus was important for them to hear. The message brought encouragement. It brought hope. And then they saw him. I mentioned last Sunday how there are times I know that we all walk through discouragement when life is difficult. And in those times, we need to be reminded that yes, he is alive. Hearing the stories of how he is showing up and working in our lives is important to share. We can be in those places of doubting, thinking he's dead, not trusting the truth, like not believing the judge was alive. The reports remind us that, yes, this is true. They encourage us and put us in a place where we can open our eyes to see him. Warren Wiersbe makes this comment: what a difference it would make in our church services if everybody who gathered came to tell about meeting the living Christ. So this morning, that's what I want us to do. To hear the stories of how God has been showing up in your lives. What has he been doing? Where has he been working? Where are those visible signs that you have been able to see him? It's in hearing these things that we then can collectively give praise. It provides encouragement for those times when maybe we ourselves find we are struggling. So I want to open it up. This is part of the message for today, to hear from you what God has been doing recently in your life. Where have you seen him working? And let's share that this morning with one another and be able to rejoice together. So who's going to be the first bold one? Yeah? Good. Somebody has to start.
Admiring the flowers.
Admiring the flowers.
The flowers outside, and all of a sudden our trees are all blooming. So that, it's got to be God.
What a great, yeah.
I had an interesting experience last Sunday in that the person that did the choir directing, from the back, I knew who it was. And that's in another time period, but we're all connected in some way.
Great.
On our travels to Mexico again last winter, once again, there was a road collapse that we had just been on a couple of days prior, and then also the earthquake in Mexico. And when we're traveling, I see God's mercy every single minute on the highway. And even today, as we're moving, God's mercy is so powerful. Thank you.
Yeah. This week we heard that my stepfather's cancer is completely gone. He's completely healed.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's come through.
Wow. Huge praise. Oh, didn't hear. Okay. Again. Give a bit more background then. How's that?
My stepfather was here about last Christmas, not the Christmas just gone, the Christmas before, and he went home and was diagnosed with bowel cancer. And last week he was pronounced all clear and released from doctor's care. Yeah.
I felt like I really saw God's hand this Tuesday when we were doing the planting next door. Several of you were here, and it was wonderful just to see the combination of people, you know, putting things in the garden and getting to know the refugee claimants and watching these little kids, you know, plant seeds of life. And just, I could just see God's hand on it all. It was wonderful. Someone over here, is that right? Yes, no? Okay, and then tell me.
Well, the Lord's been teaching me a lot of things in the past 3 years, and one of them is just to listen to his voice. You know, when I hear, like, go visit so-and-so in the hospital, and, you know, I'll start making excuses or what have you, and then, but when I do go, and for instance, yesterday I went to see my sister-in-law, and I really am not that close with her, but the Lord just told me to pray for her, and I asked her if I could pray for her, and she was like, yes, please do. You know, I really didn't know, but she said, I have a religious friend who prays for me over the phone sometimes. Mm. And so she was really, you know, she was open to that, and so I was able to pray, and I'm just thanking the Lord, because he is working. Supernaturally, you know, we just have to keep on praying for our loved ones and for people we know and people we don't know.
Yeah. Kevin. I know a number of years ago, when I was living in Maple Ridge before I moved to New West, I had two seizures back to back, and I was kind of in and out of a coma for 5 days. And I just thank God that how he just made me come out of it, and I ended up being okay.
Great. This is Kevin. He's new. He's been here for... Keith, sorry. Got the K right. been here for a couple of weeks, so good to have you here. And, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Sally, and then Peter, why don't we sing a song?
I guess the place that I saw God working most clearly in my life was everything that fell into place when my niece went down with her husband to adopt their two little girls in Kenya. There were so many obstacles they had to overcome. The time limit for getting their passports, the time limit for getting their birth certificates, the time limit for the parents for their visas were running out. And the amount of prayers that came from all of it and their own church was just incredible. All those things couldn't possibly have happened on their own. And I just know God was working there.
Yeah, my hometown Sussex actually was underwater. They were under a state of emergency. We only have about maybe 1,200 people. Most of them are seniors, and I've asked for a lot of prayer that the water level go down and people are going back to their homes. And praise God, they are back in their homes, and there's people that came in, helped to clean up the debris and stuff, but the state of emergency is over and the water level has dropped. Praise God. Thanks.
Yeah, just for what God is doing through people, Hope International, Friday night, I was able to attend their annual fundraiser, and again, was so moved by what just a small group of people who feel the call to make a difference and to spend their lives in this kind of work in other parts of the world. We heard specifically about Bangladesh, and it's a homegrown, if you will, based out of New West organization. And I walked through this ballroom, right, in the convention center, 170-some tables, and was just so moved by how young and old, there were every third table had a baby. Just this quiet,
obedience or quiet sort of desire to do what we are able through this organization. And again, it's sort of, it's that freeing up of the call of God on our lives. And it's expressed so beautifully, I think, through Hope International. So I just, that felt very thankful to God for that.
Thank you. Okay. Could I hold that?
Sure.
Face the right way. This is almost the negative. What happens when you pray and the person dies? What happens when you pray and your marriage breaks up? What happens when you pray and you never in your lifetime see the answer? So then you have your choice. Either I will stick with God, or I'll have nothing more to do with him because he doesn't answer prayer. But as Peter said, Lord, where else can we go? We have no one but you. But this is a good caution. I had an aunt that once said to me, yes, God answered your prayer, but how would you feel if he hadn't? And I think there's many people here that probably know that prayer is not answered, that you never see them answered.
Thanks, Mary.
A lot of you have met my son, Simon, which I thank God for him every single day. But a lot of you may not know that a week before Simon was born, I was laid off from my job. I had been planning to try to find some vacation time to see right around when he was born, to see what we could do to have some time to get used to having a baby in the house. And I thank God even more that less than a full week after Simon was born, I had three friends and one of their parents come by and offer me work. One of them at a car dealership, one of them in a wood shop, and one of them back at a movie theater I'd been working at already for 4 years. And, I went with the movie theater at least, but it's nice to see that God has put so many amazing, helpful people in our lives.
It's great as a church to be able to pray for these things, you know, and support the journey.
I guess the big thing about God's mercy is that he's always there, and he's, you know, just ever-present, and no matter what you're going through. And even if, you know, he doesn't come through with exactly what you ask for in prayer, he's there and you can talk to him, take comfort in him. And, that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay. Yes, I was just going to add on to what the young lady said, that sometimes it does seem as if God hasn't answered your prayer, but I think he has. It's just not what you expected, and in hindsight, you'll more often than not look back and realize that it's what you needed. So I think he does always answer, but it's probably not what you want. But in hindsight, it's what's best for you.
Yep, sometimes it isn't what we want. I think the encouraging thing for us is to know that he is there. Anybody else? Well, thank you all for being vulnerable and willing to share your heart. 2 Corinthians 4:13-16 in the Message says, we're not keeping this quiet, not in your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe, and what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace. More and more people. More and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Easter is not over. It really is just the beginning. A door into the adventure of God. The adventure of joy, of peace. The adventure of knowing and serving Jesus. And may we keep reminding each other that he is alive. Even those times when, yeah, life is difficult and dark and things are hard for us. That we can share those places where we see him, that we see that he is working, and we can continue to embark on that adventure with him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity of sharing things that are going on in our midst, ways that we have seen you. And we do acknowledge that, yeah, life is tough at times, and we can kind of get our heads down.
Lord, I pray that we would be reminded of some of these things. And that rather than doubting that you are alive, even like that judge, just not believing it, that yes, we would believe you are alive, you are working, you are in control. Lord, help us to just lay our lives at your feet and enter into this amazing adventure with you. We thank you, Lord, for this chance that we have had to come and to worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.